Do we tell the story? How many of us here say we share that story? The old, old story. That's what we're to do. Share the story with those that never heard the story. Just as if they were a child. Some of them are babes in the Word, so we have to be that teacher. Okay. Welcome you all today. It's a chilly morning, but it's warm in here. Do we have any announcements? Bob? Good to see some of us, some of our brothers and sisters are back after a bout with illness. It's going around, folks, so just be careful. Put a cross out there. Get rid of that germ. Any other announcements? Okay, on your back, don't forget to look on your bulletin in the back. And next Sunday will be the last Sunday to bring canned soup for the food bank. Don't forget that. Okay. Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 27, verse 1 and verse 4 through 9. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in this time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When ye seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. May we bow our heads. Kind Heavenly Father, once again we come before you this Sunday morning to bow our heads, to seek you and your guidance. Father, always be the light that guides our path. Always be with us. We thank you for all things. And it is in the precious name of Jesus we ask. Amen. Okay. Now we can all join in hymn number 458. 458.
This
that though the wrong seemed off so strong, God is the ruler yet. So always keep that in mind. Sometimes I, in talking through the week with friends, they're a little down or whatever about situations, and I say, I know, but just remember, he's in charge. And it's his all in his timing and all his plans. So don't fret. I think Dr. Jeremiah said in my study Bible that of all the 100% of worry that we worry about, only 8% ever comes to fruition. So why are we worrying? It just makes us old. Okay, let's have now a blessing over the offering box, the love box. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just thank you today. We just come before you to give our gifts of love, Father. We just ask that you would bless the giver and the gift, and as always, help us to be good stewards of the gifts we receive. And it is in the precious name of Jesus we ask. Amen. Amen. Okay. Sharing of joys and concerns. It's a joy to see the Baker family back here, the other Baker family. I mean, there's so many Baker families. And we want to keep Wilton in our prayers and Steve. Steve's still struggling. He went the second time back to the doctor and they switched meds. So hopefully this second round will help him. And keep Toby, our Toby, in your prayers. He's still doctoring with his foot. And isn't it odd that you have years of problems with a certain area that needs attention to the doctor, but what will fix the situation, insurance doesn't want to cover. Isn't that odd? So just pray for their insurance company that they see the light. Any others? Bob?
I think put my wife and myself on the list and some family associates and so forth that need to be lifted up and touched their toes.
Maxine?
I have our anti-grass back on the bulletin board. If you want to send her a card, I know some of you don't know who she is, but if you could send her maybe a thinking of you card, she's having trouble adjusting. So, you know, she's kind of, we went in to see her yesterday, and it's a nice place. It's sort of like a hotel, but it's a nice place. But, you know, she said, I'm not sure if this is the right decision. So,
it just, she'll have to just give it some time.
Yeah.
You just pray about it. Others? Frank?
We're glad to have Brother Sam and Sister Jackie with us again this morning.
Yes, indeed.
And I want to keep Pat on our prayers. Our daughter, she was sick too the past week, found out. And our children and grandchildren, just pray that we get them to come into the house of the Lord and worship.
Amen to that, brother.
Continue to hold the Baker family again, and anybody that's sick or needs surgery, anything, keep them in our prayers.
Yes. Jerry?
Let's keep the McAfee family on the prayer list, the loss of Rob.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a help not only from the Foxville area, but here in Rocky Ridge. He was one of our main butchers over here at the fire company. Also, speaking of Wilton, send him a card to lift him up, or a little care package or something. Chelsea has come up with this little thing on Facebook, who's on Facebook, for him. And it just, I think it really gives him some inspiration.
Yes, yes.
So I want to keep him. Yeah. And I know last week we forgot to bring it up as a joy, but Mom and Dad got to be great-grandparents again.
Yes.
They got another new arrival. So want to give that. And then just keep my prayer, my list of unspoken requests.
I had thought that it would be nice to have a sunshine box for Wilton.
That would be wonderful.
So maybe we can get a sunshine box and put back there, and if you want to send a card or get a little goodie or whatever, just remember he is diabetic, and he has trying to keep that under control so that he may be able to go get MS infusions instead of, because the medicines aren't really, the oral medication is not working so great. So evidently that shoots your sugar up, so just keep that in mind. Any others? And it's good to see Danny and Kathy back. And keep our military. Our military and our police, first responders, all in our prayers. Okay, now let's come before the Lord however you feel to do so. Father, we come before you this morning with many concerns. Father, before we do that, we want to give thanksgiving. We thank you for the answered prayers that we've seen in the past couple of weeks. We thank you for the blessings when we sit around our dinner table and can share our food and fellowship with our friends and with our loved ones. Oh, Father, there's nothing sweeter than sitting around the table with your children and grandchildren in tow right there, sharing. And you always come into the conversation, Father, for we want you to know how grateful we are, how we just love you, Father. Father, we thank you for the ability to come here this morning. I know for some it's a struggle to get up and going in the morning, and we just thank you for the blessing that of strength. Encourage that those that are having ailments can still get out and about and motivate to come to your house, to worship you, to honor you, to give you praise. Father, now the list is long. We think of Wilton and Steve. We think of Toby, who's struggling with his foot to be healed. We think of Bob and Linda, who have had illnesses back and forth. We think of Irene, Father, who is now in a different place, in a home that it's not her home. So it's very confusing and very upsetting. Father, we just ask that peace and understanding would come about, that you would touch her in a mighty way and that she would once again have peace and comfort. Father, help her family to understand what she's going through and give them the strength and courage they need as loved ones and caregivers. Father, we think of the Baker family, who's had many illnesses. You know each and every need, each and every care. And Father, we just ask that you heal them, that you be with them. Father, we think of the McAfee family that has lost a husband, a father, a grandfather, an uncle. Father, we just ask that you be with those of the family and just flood their memories with just sweet memories of days gone by that may give them comfort and help them not to feel alone. Father, we think of Danny and Kathy. We're glad to see them back today. We think of Pat and Cindy. We think of Jerry's list and my list. Father, the list is long. The illnesses are long, Father, and we just ask that you hear our prayers, O Lord. Father, we think of our children and grandchildren. What greater gift for us parents and grandparents to know that they chose you for their one and only Savior, that they would give their hearts to you, and that they would return to your house to learn more about you, to learn how to love you more, and how to serve you, and give thanks and blessings to you for all that you do. Father, we think of this world. Father, it lacks love. It lacks peace and understanding, Father. We just pray for the world that's around us. We know we're not part of this world. Yes, we live in it, but our home is in heaven with you. So we just ask that you would guide us in the days ahead. We know that maybe our days won't all be a bed of roses, but we know that you are there. And we just ask that you be with us. And that maybe in some small way we can show the world around us, the people around us, what it is to have you in their hearts. And maybe that hate and that anger and mistrust will fade away. Father, we think of our military and our police that give their lives each and every day so that we can have the freedoms we have. It's a freedom just to be able to come into your house and worship you. We think of the first responders. They also put their lives on the line. We just ask a special blessing upon them and their families. We think of the prayer book in the back, Father. There's many unspoken prayer written back there, Father, and we just lift that up to you. And we lift up our directory, our church directory, each family name that's listed in there, each family member. Father, bless them. And Father, my prayer throughout is that in 2023 there be a burning, strong burning desire to come back to you, Father, and to your house. Father, we think of Pastor Sam now, Brother Sam and Sister Jackie. They are action figures. You can look upon them and know who's in their heart because they are action figures for him. Father, we just want you to give him a special blessing for his efforts, that he takes time out of his busy schedule to come and worship with us. Father, we know that he has studied and meditated, and we just thank you for him. Bless him as he stands behind this pulpit, that your words flow freely throughout his message, and help us to listen and to partake. Father, we thank you. And now we unite our voices in that most perfect prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You know, it probably won't be too long before some of you will be saying, we got to get her away from that pulpit. She prays and prays way too long. Especially if anybody's on their knees, they're probably tired of hearing it. But I just can't help it. I get into a zone and I'm just like, I'm talking to him. You guys aren't even here.
God enjoys every word you say.
But I apologize if I do take it to the limit. It's just sometimes I get lost in my thoughts with him. Okay. Now we can all unite our voices in another beautiful hymn, 387.
Stand if you're able.
Remember when we used to have week-long revivals? That was one of them. Call to the altar. The good old days. Okay, scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Thessalonians 1, 7 through verses 7 through 10. And you follow along where I mess up, you can correct. Because I guarantee you, I will mess somewhere. So that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything, for they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. Amen. Now let's give our undivided attention to Brother Sam. And I guarantee you, you won't fall asleep.
Plus, I have buttons that I can push. The electric comes on if you do go to sleep. Debbie, don't worry about the long prayers. You have carpet in this church. Where I grew up, seriously, they didn't have carpet. And when you're kneeling, it's a little better if you have some carpet down there. So you have a good church and a good time here, and trust the Lord will bless the Word of God. Let's bow now in prayer. Father, we give thanks for the Word of God. Thank you for the freedoms we have here. Thank you for the Word of God in our hearts and the Spirit of God directing us. We pray you'll lead us in ways to glorify you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 1, 7 says, you are examples. Everyone is an example. Every church is an example. Some are good examples. Some are bad examples. Every car dealer is an example. Some are good. Some are bad. Every doctor is an example. Some are good. Some are bad. Every town office is a good example. Amen? Okay, and some are bad. Okay, so we are examples, but we want examples to follow. And I thank the Lord that I grew up with good examples. Grew up in a farming family at one time, not like the Bakers, but between my mother and dad's siblings, there were seven farms being farmed by relatives, all of them good examples. And the churches were pretty good examples in those days. I watched as a child what the preacher said and how the leaders lived. Preacher says one thing, what do the elders do? Now, in those days, kids kept their mouth shut. So I didn't say anything. But you keep your mouth shut, but your mind open. So I was watching. So thank the Lord I had good examples growing up. I'm sad today to see some of the examples that the kids have to follow. What's going on in our nation? How many bad examples? So a good example is something to follow. So what kind of example is this church? In verse 8, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, announcement of our faith in Christ. What should be famous about a church? It preaches the word of God. But it says, from you. When we talk about a church, I'm not talking about the building. You are the church. As long as a church of brethren doesn't go over the community, it's just here. It's a good building. It has a great history. But I've got people driving down the road and saying, I think I'm going to that church. I think I can get saved. But maybe you means individuals. So each of us, I'm convinced, we have a greater impact than we think. Isn't it sad sometimes most people show up at somebody's funeral? Poor person can't hear it. They criticize them all their life, and then they die and tell them what a great person they were. And if I'm reading the obituaries in the Frederick Post, it's bad news. Only good people die and us bad people still living. It goes in the newspaper. It talks about this wonderful person all the time. All these wonderful people after they're gone. So let's talk about good things to one another while we're still alive. So we have this impact. Don't do this. But if you want to know how many people are aware of you, do something stupid. And they'll tell you, oh, I saw you do that. You do the right things, they say nothing. If you do something wrong, they'll give you a hard time about it. But I'm looking at a couple of categories. Facebook. How many of you are on Facebook? Some of you are on Facebook. Every contact you have on Facebook, you have an influence on. I mean, I have a couple hundred, and I know who they are. I go down through the names when their birthday comes up or whatever. We know who they are. Everyone on Facebook, you have a contact. There's a guy by the name of Jerry. It says 1.5K. That's a lot of people. So we have a lot of people on Facebook. And there'll be things in there about the Lord that you can share and witness. And my daughter is very good at taking pictures of family events and putting it on Facebook, especially the Pennsylvania Farm Show. I'm the only guy that would do a couple of stupid things like getting in a racing sulky that doesn't go anywhere and I have the lines going and all kind of things. But one thing I want to know, when she puts it on there, at least my friends know I'm still alive. Well, he was alive last week in Harrisburg. So I want them to know about Jesus. How about email? How many of you have email? You have a list of contacts on the left. I looked at this morning, yesterday, I have about 300 email contacts. That means there's 300 people that I have their email and there can be a contact there. Plus, there's a whole bunch of my high school class. I don't have it on the list, but I could get to it. So Facebook, we have contact. The community in which you live. If you're in a large family like the Baker family, you have a contact. And so from us goes forth the word of the Lord. And what I like to do from time to time is just make casual comments about the Lord and just get people's response. And when Christians understand, they'll respond. Somebody asked me just recently, how's the world treating you? I said, the world's not treating me very well, but the Lord's treating me good. No response. What would be your response? Amen. So I do that to see where are they spiritually without hammering them. So I try to be a witness, and it says these ones, they were a witness. Acts 1:8 says, you shall be witnesses. You're going to witness, stand, raise your hand, tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. What you say might determine the outcome of that defendant. That defendant brought you in as a witness. When I was a news reporter, back in those days, before radar, police cars had to follow a car for a period of time. And then the speedometer on the police car is what they used there. So we had a guy in court. He was charged with going 55 in a 40 and a 30-mile zone. And so the man said he wasn't. The police were wrong and so forth. He had a witness with him, guy with him. He got up here. And this guy was as straight and honest as it could be. Speed limit's 30. They were charging on 55. He said, officer, to the judge, that cop is wrong. We weren't going 55 in a 30-mile zone. Well, how fast were you going? Not more than 45. 45 to 30 miles out. Judge says, guilty. And he told the guy, next time get a different witness. So they lost the case because of a witness. But I'm serious when I say this. I hope my witness for the Lord wouldn't mislead someone. I think all of us live that. I trust people look at my life, they wouldn't go the wrong way. So we want to be a witness. Now it says, from you sounded out. It means the thunder. Sound like a trumpet. K Karen and I do correspond by email, but only sermon title and a little comment in the scripture. But David Jeremiah this morning, his message says, if you know the Lord, it's time to, he said, turn up the mic. It's time to speak up. That's exactly what this means. It means that people know exactly what you're walking and what you're doing and what it's all about to know the Lord. My wife's father, and my mother and father lived down on south of Annapolis near South River, and he had a boat, not a yacht, a boat, outboard motor, and he had a cramming license to go out in the Chesapeake Bay. So the boat was, it was floatable. It wasn't something you would probably want to take for a long distance, but it worked, it served its purpose. And my father-in-law had one of these horns on the front about that high with that squeeze button. Squeeze the horn. So when my father-in-law passed away, my son said, Dad, could I have Pop's horn off the boat? Well, we're going to use it. So I gave him the horn. He went home, took it down in the garage, took the horn off, and hooked it to his air compressor. Going to be a little different. You know where I'm going with that. So in their community, owned in Maryland, south of BWI Airport, New Year's Eve, New Year's morning, there's a lot of racket, fireworks going off, and people beating on pots and pans. There's a woods nearby, and they're shooting shotguns and all this racket. At the stroke of midnight, he let them go for about 5 seconds, and went down, turned that compressor on, and pulled the lever down. Oh, the great sound. And all the community got silent. And you could see the people coming out of the house saying, what was that? Everybody heard it. Pulled it down again. Oh, he could hear the echo going through the woods. Everybody knew about it. So we're to sound forth the word of God, not being obnoxious, but we sound forth the word of God. What should be known about this church? You come here, you're going to hear the Bible. We're going to give you the word of God. So it sounds out. But in 1 Corinthians 14:8 it says, if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare for battle? So when the trumpet sounded, what is the message? Using a bugle. How many of you think you know the difference between reveille and taps? If you heard it, would you recognize what reveille is, what taps is? Go, getting up, da-da-da, going to sleep. One time in a church camp in New York, they had a big loud speaker, and we always get the kids up with reveille, put them to sleep with taps. And the idea was get your kids ready, get them in bed, have devotions, and when taps comes, lights are out. So one night, I could hear the PA system come on, and they had two little tapes. One was reveille, one was taps. And you could hear them walking around, and all of us, we just told the kids, all right, get in bed, get sleep. All of a sudden, they put the wrong one in. The next morning, we gave that person a hard time, saying, man, that was a shock. I declare, I thought I just went to bed. Here's the reveille. And the wrong one in there. So we don't want to have the wrong message. The message is that Jesus died for our sins. He was buried. He arose. He ascended. He's coming again. David Jeremiah talked about the resurrection of Christ is a message that we proclaim. It says the word of the Lord, not the word of the church, not the word of the denomination, not the word of the bishop. It's the word of the Lord. I know of a pastor in the area that says, he preaches what pleases the bishop in Baltimore. I want to preach what pleases the bishop in heaven, the word of God. That's the kind of church you've had here where the preachers preach the word of God. Then it says, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but every place, all around, people knew about that church and preaching the word of God. But what did they know about? Your faith toward God. Isn't it great to know in the day in which we live today, you can trust the Lord. I don't have a lot of faith. in what the government's doing. I'm not sure I always vote for people running for office because of what they promise, especially if they've been there. This is the third time they're running for office, the third time they're making a promise and they haven't done the first two. So I don't always trust the word of man, but I trust the word of God. We trust the soul. It says that your faith, firm persuasion, but it's an individual testimony. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Can you say, I put my faith and trust in Christ? It's not in the church. It's not about the Lord. It's about knowing the Lord in a personal way. It says your faith in the Lord. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I believe this. If preachers aren't preaching the Bible, it's because they don't believe the Bible. Do we have preachers that don't believe the Bible? Do we have government officials that don't believe the Constitution? So we're in a nation, we don't believe the Bible, we don't believe the Constitution. And we wonder why we have all these problems. We believe the Word of God, and that's why we preach the Word of God. But it says, toward God, faith toward God, not faith about God, but the faith in God. Is there a difference between knowing about someone and knowing someone? A personal relationship. I'll use Jerry since I'm picking on him a little bit today. I know the mayor of Thurmont. I know his name, John Kennard. Know about where he lives. Know he has a beard. I know he's out and about. If you gave me a sheet of paper to write everything I know about the mayor, and you gave Jerry a sheet of paper, what do you know about the mayor? The thing about it is, I know who the mayor is, but Jerry, you probably know the mayor personally. Now, if the mayor walked in here today, probably he would say, hi, Jerry. That guy in the pulpit, I think I've seen him a couple of times around the town. What's the difference? I don't have a personal relationship, except on election day. I do vote for him, but that's about it. But Jerry knows him in a personal way. So how is that with you and God? Do we know about God, or you know him in a personal way? I don't know. You talk to him at least weekly or more?
Daily.
See, he talks to the mayor daily. I talk to the mayor election day. Do you talk to God daily? Do you talk to him when you have a need? Do you have that personal relationship? So I'm always concerned, seriously as I say this, I'm concerned that people would enjoy my message but never know Jesus. I'm sorry. You get the gates of heaven and say, I enjoyed the preacher's sermon. That's not going to get you to heaven. It's that personal relationship where you've asked Jesus to come into your life. You realize you're a sinner. Sin carries a death penalty. Christ paid that penalty. And you ask Jesus to be your Savior. And there's a relationship with the Lord. So it's spread abroad, so that I don't need to say anything else. Verse 9. A second one, not only announcement of faith in Christ, but adjustments in the way we live. Adjustments in the way we live. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had with you. People take a look at us. I watch people, even now, I still watch people how they live and how they act and so forth. I appreciate what it says in Acts 4:13 about the disciples. It said they perceived they were unlearned and ignorant people, but they took knowledge of them. They had been with Jesus. When people talk to us, do they have an idea that person been with Jesus? It rubs off on us, doesn't it? We're around people, it rubs off. We have a lifestyle. We might even have a lifestyle in Maryland that might be different than lifestyle in Louisiana, physically, or New England. One thing I always take notice, we're the only people that don't have an accent. White people in New England have an accent, West Virginia, but we don't have an accent. You know why? We're all the same. It has an influence on us. And even our daughter was in Virginia for a couple of years, and I thought, I think she's getting a Virginia accent. Well, we should have a Jesus accent, shouldn't we? When we talk about him, it shows out through us, so there's an adjustment. No, a couple aspects. How you turn to God. It means an immediate and decisive change. When you accept Jesus, things are different. Now, I accepted Christ when I was 10 years old. So there was not a lifestyle much change. I'm an only child, live on a farm, milk cows, went to Lewistown Elementary School, rode the school bus. I got saved on a Friday evening, Monday morning, same school bus, same elementary school, same cows, same dog, but a different singer. But it wasn't a radical change, like a bank robber or somebody, like criminal. But it's like driving down the highway. When you go across Interstate 81 in Harrisburg, you better know which lane you're in. Because the lane you're in, you're all going the same way across the river. But at the end of the river, this lane's going to go south, and this lane's going to go north. And if you're in the wrong lane, and you got that blinker on and trying to get over. So mine was kind of gradual. But as I got a teenager, I began to realize my life is different. My goals are different. My aspirations are different. I think I've mentioned it numbers of times here. I lived for the Lord in my freshman year of Frederick High School and my senior year. But the two middle years, I didn't. I've tried to analyze it. I never can totally put it down. It'd be easy to blame it on the church, right? So I'm not responsible. That's not going to work. But when I started to live with the Lord in my senior year, it was a little more difficult. Because as I was saying, last year, you did thus and so. And so I began to realize the best way is just to live for Jesus. Just be consistent. So when I became a reporter for the Frederick News Post, I thought, I'm going to live for the Lord day one. Now, I'm not going to go through all this. I'm just going to live for the Lord straight out. Wasn't too much longer. They started calling me Chaplain Sam. They don't know. I said, yes. Think I'm getting through to them. And then when I got my first police assignment, whether the editor, I worked for a month before I got my first assignment out of the office. And my assignment was to cover Frederick City Police. The first night, Lieutenant Phoebus was the one that I met with, and he showed me around how to work things out. And he said, Sam, tonight you're going to learn the other side of life. Now, I'm not sure if the editor said, you got to watch that guy. He's just a farm boy that's acting like a Christian. I don't know what it was. But we are a testimony, and we want people, when they see us, to want to know more about Jesus. It says in Acts 26:18, you've turned from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. So I know we're different. We want to be a way that would show people to Christ. Now it says, you turn to God from idols. So I'm sure you're saying idols. Those little things that people used to bow down and worship. We don't have any idols in America. Or do we? An idol is anything that keeps you from the Lord. Now, I might get in trouble, and I will have a confession. Sports can be an idol. Play it or follow it. Frederick High School was very dedicated to the University of Maryland sports. Sports of Frederick High School, sports of Maryland. So I became a Terrapins fan. To the fact, this is back in the days of Jim Tatum, so you've got to be an old timer to know who I'm talking about. When they won the national championship. Now that stuff now that they're getting paid to be in the Big Ten to lose. And then they won. But how they played on the weekend determined my whole week. If they beat Duke, go for it. If they lost to Virginia, I was irritated for a week. And I mean, if they lose the last game of the year, it's really a challenge. And I got to the place where I couldn't even listen to sports because it was a conviction. And God said, you're putting sports ahead of me. The Bible talks about it should be the joy of the Lord, not the joy of winning. And I won't even go too far on Super Bowl Sunday. Have I ever had battles over the years with Super Bowl Sunday when the church has an evening service? And so some years ago, the Steelers were in the Super Bowl. And I'm not a Steelers fan, so I'm exempt from any emotion about who's winning. But the church I started in Pennsylvania, they were Steeler fans all over. And so I said to them, folks, I know it's Super Bowl. The Steelers are in it. I'm just going to make an announcement right now. The Steelers are going to do nothing in the Super Bowl until we have the service at a regular time and we get home. And that evening, they all showed up. And so it was about, I guess, a 40-minute drive back to my daughter and son-in-law's where we're staying. So I got back home, and I said to my son-in-law, Mark, you've seen him here. Mark, how's it going? He said, the Steelers are playing lousy. It wasn't 2 minutes later. They lit that scoreboard, and they wiped that team off the face of the stadium. So I said, put the Lord first, the team might win. Now, that's not the way you do it. Don't say, well, if I go to church, they'll win. That's not the way we do it. But we can put things in our lives that come between us and the Lord. And there are things I have to think about. Can politics be a religion? Can they? Can your job be a religion? All we have work, obviously. So we have to know. God knows, and you know in your heart, but we turn from idols to the living God. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. So I want to see, do we have the Lord first in our lives? But then it says, we do this to serve the living and true God. I know that you're probably looking for a pastor. You need a pastor. But you know, sometimes it's good for a church not to have a pastor. So you know what needs to be done. Sometimes you hire a pastor and say, well, okay, you run the church. Pastor doesn't run the church. The Lord runs the church. But now you're finding out what all it takes involved. It's not automatic. Somebody's got to clean the church. Somebody's got to do this. Somebody's got to do the bulletin. Somebody's got to get the information to put in the bulletin, Karen. All these things go. So I've watched churches. When a pastor is not there, they step up. Now, the challenge for you will be, when the pastor comes, you say, well, now I'm done. See you later. See you on Sunday. It doesn't go that way. We're here to serve the Lord. Now, to me, it's a privilege to serve the Lord. I'd rather serve the Lord than anybody else. So it would be interesting, even in this church, and I don't have any idea how we'd ever do this, but how many person hours does this church use to get ready for Sunday? Takes Karen some time to do that. Takes Gary. You might be surprised how many hours a Sunday school teacher would spend, how many times a speaker would do. What it takes an average week, Bob, phrase, treasure, what I'm telling you, every job that needs to be done in a week, you might be surprised at how much time is involved in this church every week. Amen. But you don't look at it as, oh, I've got to do it. It's a joy to serve the Lord, but still it is activity, and thank the Lord for local churches. Now, the last point is verse 10. You turn to God from idols to serve a living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. Anticipation of Christ's return. You have programs planned. The greatest program is going to be when that trumpet sounds and we're out of here. And so to wait means to wait with intensity. You're looking forward to it. We're looking forward to the coming of Jesus. Titus says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. When we do the Lord's table, he said, do this, remember my death, till he come. Why do we believe Jesus is going to come? He said he's going to come. He was on earth. He said, I'm going to go into Jerusalem. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to rise again. What did he do? Exactly that. Dr. Jeremiah talked about saying, look at my hands. Look at my side. It's me. The reason we believe Jesus is coming is he said he's coming. So in our family, we always have something looking forward to, expecting Jesus could come before that. The big event coming up this week, my wife and I are going to Pennsylvania for our daughter's birthday. Then after the birthday will be the fellowship that I'm in, our spring retreat. And then Easter, then Mother's Day, and then Father's Day, and then July 4th. And we always have something planned, expecting the great event to take place. Wouldn't it be great if the Lord would come today? Wouldn't it be great if Jesus would come? I have more expectation of Jesus coming than I do the swamp's going to get drained. Let's put it to you that way. Drain right there. So we look forward to the coming of Jesus, whom he raised from the dead. Dr. Jeremiah talked about that this morning, the resurrection. We talk about, I serve a risen Savior. Not a dead theology, but a risen Savior. Jesus is not here. He is risen from the dead. And I appreciate the things that Dr. Jeremiah said about the resurrection of Christ. My wife and I have been in Jerusalem. So when he talked about Gordon's tomb, we were there. So it's good when you hear somebody talk like that. And you've been there and have seen that. And have the evidence that Jesus is alive. He's coming again. Is he coming for you? If you know him as your Savior, you have salvation. It says, he delivered us from the wrath to come. Listen, there's a lot of wrath in the Bible in the future. God doesn't like it when we say no to his Son. John 3 says, he that believes the Son has everlasting life. He that does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. I trust today you've accepted Christ as your Savior. If you're not, you could do that right now in your heart, saying, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. I realize Christ died for me. You accept him as your Savior, and you pass from death to life, and looking forward to the coming of Jesus. Let's bow now in prayer. Father, we give thanks in the promise of your word, the promise that were fulfilled when you were on earth, and the promise of salvation to those who believe in Christ, and the promise of your coming, even with John in the book of Revelation. Even so come, Lord Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.
peace, the born again from the dead of the Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of sheep. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do good for, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom every glory is, and forevermore.